You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The Lord was looking for a girl who would become a woman with a mind of her own. Mary believed him.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us all the humility of spirit and the joy of your salvation that you have always given to your people through the ages. Make us strong of faith to receive your Son Jesus as he was received by his human mother, with strength of will to follow him and to be his disciples. Fill our hearts with his spirit that this season may be both strengthening and comforting as we remember him, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. History has known many remarkable women. In the field of therapy, there is Sister Kenny. In the field of chemistry, Madame Curie. In social work, Jane Addams. Who could ever forget Helen Keller, blind and deaf from birth, who inspired millions of people by her amazing will and ability? How can the world ever forget Deborah, the judge of Israel, and Miriam, Moses' sister? The greatest of all women had no outstanding personal achievements to her credit. She was not highly educated. She was not a world-famous leader. She was not a queen or the wife of a president. She was a simple, humble, poor, peasant, Jewish girl by the name of Mary. The angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Her relative Elizabeth said to her, "Blessed are you among women." Mary herself said, "Behold, from henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Mary's place in history has often been obscured with extravagant embellishment of what we really know about her, or by attempts to relegate her to a place of unimportance in great events of which she was very much a part. It surprises a lot of people that the mother of the Lord was not the overwhelmingly agreeable and passively placid person that she's often made out to be. Although pictured as the epitome, the perfect model of faith, devotion, gentleness, acceptance, humility, piety, and motherly instinct, Mary was a woman with strong will which she did not hesitate to express. We picture her, as she's often been portrayed, occupying the dual role of a Hollywood beauty and a pristine, romantic, idyllic fantasy, often ignoring the reality of her real situation. She had a very real strength in the midst of that situation, with a true beauty that goes far beyond outward appearance. Quite contrary to what people expected at that time, and to what Mary herself could possibly have anticipated, the angel of the Lord came bearing incredible news that she would bear a child, even though she was a virgin and would remain a virgin until the child was born. Mary came from a good family, and she knew right away what people would say about that. They would cast aspersions upon her character and upon the story itself. Indeed, later on, religious people were fond of calling her son the carpenter's son. It was their comment not only on carpenters, but on the circumstances under which he was supposed to have been born. They didn't believe that story about virgin birth, and Mary knew that they would not believe it. Martin Luther once said, "There are three wonders connected with the birth of Jesus Christ. One is that God should become a man. The second is that the Virgin Mary bore a child. The third," Martin Luther said, "is that Mary believed when the angel told her this would happen." Of the three wonders, Martin Luther said, the greatest is the third, that Mary believed. Mary was a great believer. It was not mere acceptance of an inconvenient situation. In that case, if the girl was penitent and the family forgiving, she was hustled off to some aunt's house in the boondocks and hidden away to await the birth of the unwanted. No, Mary did not hide away. Her cousin Elizabeth said to her, "How happy you are to believe that the Lord's message to you will come true." Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God, my Savior, for he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honor him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever." Quite contrary to every expectation, Mary was content to follow the Lord's will, his unique and saving will, even though she could have regarded it as unreasonable and very inconvenient. She did not argue about the problems that would be created. She didn't beg the Lord to find somebody else to bear the responsibility. She didn't try to wangle a special favor or two in exchange for such a risky role. Luke tells us her response to the angel was simply and beautifully, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." The Lord evidently was looking for a girl who would become a woman with a mind of her own. When she believed, you could count on her. She believed when no one else would believe, not even the young man to whom she was betrothed. It took a special word from the Lord to bring him around, to protect her, instead of putting her away privately so that nobody would know what was happening. Mary took God at his word. That's contrary to what can be expected of the world. People will believe almost anything from anybody, but they won't believe God. You can sell people almost anything, but you can't tell them about God. You can bring them the good news of the grace of God, but they won't accept anything unless they can earn it. You can bring to them the good news of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, born at Bethlehem, the Son of Mary and the Son of God, but that's too much to accept. You can tell them that the grace of God forgiving their sins is freely given to be freely received, but they won't accept anything unless they can pay good hard cash for it. The Son of God can be crucified for the sins of the world, but people find it hard to believe that he died for them. The Savior of the world can be raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, but people will write it off as an impossible occurrence. The Apostle Paul exclaimed in amazement to King Agrippa, "Why should it be thought incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Mary believed. She was a great believer. An advertisement used to say, "You gotta believe, you gotta believe." Everybody's got to believe something. When people say, "I don't believe anything," they might as well stop eating and drinking. They might as well stop breathing. Mary believed God. "My heart praises the Lord," she said. "My soul is glad because of God, my Savior, for he's remembered me, his lowly servant." That road is not the way the world is accustomed to go. When people take notice of you, you're supposed to play the role of a star, to take all the adulation and learn to live with it, or at least to long for more of it. Down through the ages, people have conferred titles on Mary, like Queen of Heaven, Co-Redemptrix, Mother of the World and Queen of Martyrs. I have a feeling such adulation would be almost embarrassing to this admirable lady, who, though she is indeed First Lady of the Faith, disavowed any special status, even at the time of Jesus' birth, or at the time when she stood beneath his cross. She protected her son fiercely, as a mother will, when he was a child. She sorrowed for him deeply when the spear was thrust into his side. If I read it correctly, the third day when the women went out in the early morning to complete the embalming process of his body for final burial, Mary was not there. Someone has suggested she may have been the only one who still believed him. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. One thing we know, in all the humility of her humanity, Mary believed God. He has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me blessed because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. After focusing on her plight, Mary found both solace and strength in praise of the mighty God. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honor him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever. In some important ways, this Mary is certainly quite contrary. She runs counter to the whole world in her faith, to the whole world in humble resolution, to the whole world in the way in which she offers her whole life to God. Honored by God with the responsibility of being the mother of the world's Redeemer, honored by those who came to worship and adore the child, Mary devoted herself to caring, loving, and helping. That's the way God reaches out his mighty arm and puts the proud in their places. That's the way the mighty God puts down mighty kings from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. That's the way God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich empty away. God keeps his promises. His Son comes to bless the lowly in spirit, who come to God in sincere repentance and resolute faith that he means what he says. There's only one snapshot of the childhood years of the son God gave Mary to rear and to raise with the help of her faithful Joseph. When the boy was 12 years old, he remained behind in the temple in Jerusalem, amazing the great preachers and teachers with his intelligent questions and answers. After 3 days of searching for him along the way and back in Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph found him. Mary said, "Why have you done this to us? Didn't you know that your father and I were looking for you?" Jesus said to her, respecting her position as his mother and following his mission with the same resolution that characterized everything he did, "Why were you worried about me? Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house?" Luke tells us neither Mary nor Joseph fully understood at that moment what he meant. Maybe that's the secret of believing. Following along faithfully, not only passively accepting, but actively participating, even when you don't understand everything. That's Mary, the mother of the Lord, going to Egypt of all places to keep the baby alive, returning to Nazareth instead of going back to Bethlehem because a cruel son had become king to take his cruel father's place there, living the humble life, serving the humble poor, doing the ordinary things that must be done, getting water every day at the one spring in Nazareth, putting food on the mat that served as a dining table, greeting people everywhere, comforting the sick, helping to solve problems that arise, and continuing to believe, always believing. This is Mary, sister to your mother. From Mary, Jesus got his flesh and blood, so that he might become your brother. When the time was fully come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem all of us who have the heavy weight of that law upon us, so that by his life and sacrifice we might receive by adoption the name of sons and daughters in his holy family. That woman was not a celestial being, but one of us, a girl like your sister, a mother like your mother, a member of your family. Like most people who have climbed the heights of fame or success, Mary never stopped calling herself his lowly servant. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, she always said. There's a tremendous balance that comes from faith in God, reflecting both confidence and love that produce the mature personality. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. That's not pride, nor even mere piety, but a living, vibrant faith in God working in the soul of a human being to produce a real woman with a mind of her own. Martin Luther once remarked that the emphasis is not so much on lowly servant, which can itself become the source of pride. The emphasis, said Luther, is on remembered. He has remembered me, his lowly servant. There's nothing particularly holy in being lowly. There's something wonderful, exciting, and uplifting, not in the pride or the posture of lowliness, but in the humble acceptance of the grace of God and his remembrance of the lowly. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honor him. He stretches out his mighty arm and scatters the proud with all their plans. He brings down the mighty kings from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. He fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away with empty hands. He keeps his promises given to our ancestors, and he comes to the help of his servant Israel. He remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants, the faithful of every age, forever. Mary, quite contrary, bucking the tide and honoring God with her faith in him, in joy replacing the pain, still praying with the disciples after the resurrection of her mighty son, trusting in God her Savior and praising God with the persistence of her hope in him, the mother of sorrows, to the man of sorrows, who was acquainted with grief, she bore in her heart the Lord Jesus, keeping all these things locked up there in her heart. Mary, quite contrary to the selfish pull of human nature, reminds us all, homemakers and secretaries, teachers and students, machinists and engineers, accountants and bank presidents, bookkeepers and clerks, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, to remember God, how he stretches out his mighty arm and scatters the proud with all their plans, how he brings down the mighty kings from their thrones and lifts up the lowly, how he fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich empty away in the greatest event the world has ever known or ever will know, the birth of a child to become the one and only Savior of the whole world, forgiving sins that would otherwise remain unforgiven, and giving life that is life indeed. Amen.